Blog Talk Radio.
Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday, except it's not Sunday, it's Saturday, because I've got plans for tomorrow. So the great Tim McLeod and I are here this Saturday talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And Tim, you're on the line. How are you, buddy?
I am just doing great, Rich. And it would appear that Blog Talk Radio has made a liar out of me. Remember how I told you the Skype button hasn't been coming up?
It came up today, huh?
Well, yeah, I remember I checked on Lenny's podcast.
Yep.
Didn't come up on that one. And guess what's staring me right in the face?
Why don't we just stay with the phone tonight, and then maybe next week we'll hop back on the Skype to see if that works. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great, because I am trying to untangle my headset, and it could take the full hour and a half. It's a little bit of a mess here, Rich, to say the least.
Well, Timmy, it's it has been a fun week. There's been a lot of speculations, and the latest thing out there is that I just sold as Aroldis Chapman. The Reds won it more for Aroldis Chapman than the Padres won it for Craig Kimbrel. So, wow, that's only 1 year of Aroldis Chapman, and it's crazy hot stove talk going on at the moment.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing, and that's sort of bizarre because Kimbrel's tied up for – you know, I don't know how many years he's tied up for, but considerably more than the one that you're looking at with Chapman. And, you know, the Reds are talking about moving players, but with the asking price that the rumor mill has it, they're not going to move a lot, are they?
No, I think they'll come down in price because there's really no reason to keep Chapman. There's probably no reason to keep Bruce. They're probably stuck with Votto. Probably stuck with Phillips. I think he's only one more year, but maybe they can trade him. And they're stuck with Homer Bailey because he's hurt. So they don't have a whole lot to deal, and Aroldis Chapman seems to be the likely guy who could return a lot.
Well, you're talking at arguably either the best or second-best closer in the game, in my opinion. And, the Reds will get a good haul, but I don't think they're going to get quite what they were looking for.
No, if they were looking for more than Manny Margot and Guerra, that's quite a take there. So, Timmy, it's going to be a relatively short show this evening. I appreciate you taking your Saturday evening out. It sounded like you were doing a little shopping then and grabbed a fast food dinner, which is never good, but we appreciate you making the time for us.
It's never a problem, Rich. You know, Saturday night, the options were watching reruns of Dancing with the Stars or possibly talking baseball. I think we've been through this before, right?
Now, you know what I did today? So it was a bit of a quiet day for me. I did some writing this morning. I had a mental block, and I took a couple of weeks off from writing, and I finally got some energy. I know you know how that is. I mean, you wrote for years and years. Sometimes I just get sick of writing. I just don't want to do it anymore, and I just had to put it down for a couple of weeks.
Well, I understand perfectly well what you're talking about, because even now I'm doing some writing, and I have a real hard time on occasion, and it's like it doesn't matter what you put there. It doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right, and you keep editing and editing and editing, and eventually you get back to where you started, so you're best off just putting it down and walking away, I think.
I know. I felt that way, and I just had no energy to do it. But I've got about 30 more capsules to write, then I'll be done. So I'm definitely in the AL West, and I still got to do – I have – it's funny because I write the players as I scout them through the year. So, you know, out of those 50, I probably have, 25-ish done. Nobody in the Los Angeles Angels system. So I've got all 10 to write. Tim, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know who to write about.
It could be, why don't you could always put in, see 2016 capsules. They will be ready next fall.
Yeah,
one of those, let's move to the future a little bit and skip this year.
Yeah, but you know they're going to sign some. They're going to sign some free agents, and they're going to lose draft picks, and it's just going to be a mess. I mean, I know they have to go for it, but you know, it's a mess of a system. So I did that this morning. Then I watched the Arizona Fall League Championship game, which was fun to watch. And but then I had some time to kill. My wife says, "Hey, let's watch a comedy." So I went on the HBO Go, Tim, Revenge of the Nerds. Watch Revenge of the Nerds. Oh, classic stuff. And Lori had never seen it before. I'm going, are you kidding me? This is like, it's like one of the greatest stupid movies you've ever seen.
Well, yeah, it's right up there. We watched, what was it, Christmas with the Cranks, I think it was, this afternoon.
Oh, okay. I have not seen, that's relatively new though, right?
Yeah, it's in color.
It's in color. It's very good. So Tim, it sounds like we were pretty much doing the same thing, just chilling out of house. So I got to tell you, baseball, I guess, is somewhat officially over, and I will watch a couple of Dominican Winter League games, but that's pretty tough going on that. But it's the Arizona Fall League's over. We're done until middle of February when pitchers and catchers report.
Well, yeah, you've always got the Australian Baseball League. If you want to swing to something a little bit different, there are some North American kids playing over there. I usually make it a point to catch at least four or five of the games, Rich. What I really enjoy is I enjoy the announcers, the way they call the games. It's sort of neat in its own little way.
Wow. Well, let's see how far away. Is how many days until, what is it, February 17th? Why don't we do February 17th?
Hmm.
It is how many days until February 17th, 2016? I want to say 2016, Tim. Let's see how many days. That's like got to be about 90 days away or so.
That's what I guess.
Countdown to February 7th, 2016. 86 days, Tim. 2,085 hours. 86 days, 21 hours, 52 minutes, and 50 seconds. That's how many days we have left until pitchers and catchers report. That's a long time.
Well, yeah, it is, especially if you're an Atlanta Braves fan looking for offense this year.
Oh, Tim, it's terrible. We're going to get into that. Let's just do a couple of housekeeping items first, and then we're going to get right into the show. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a variety of ways. You can do that on Twitter, at Rich Wilson FSG is myself, or at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC for the great Tim McLeod. Go out to the Facebook page, which is prospect361.com. Dynasty League groups, Tim and Alan Servinus do a really good job at managing that. The site has been on fire. So those are the best ways to get a hold of us. And, Tim, I guess that's it. And I will say it was a good week from a fantasy standpoint because our Dynasty League, we actually rolled them over for the year, and trading is back open, and you can trade picks. And that's a good thing. That's always like a glimmer of hope that the Dynasty League are back open and ready for business.
Yeah, I actually went into DL2 and updated my trade block and – put a whole pile of names out there and got some discussion started already. So hey,
yeah,
it's a good thing.
You got a good team, Tim. It's really good. And then you've got you made a really slick trade and picked up, I don't know, third or fourth pick in the draft too. And it's stacked with Arrieta and Clayton Kershaw and somebody else that's really good as your pitchers. And it's a good team.
Well, yeah, we got Arrieta, Kershaw, Jose Fernandez. That's it.
Yeah,
but you know what? I like the depth because we've also got Quintana and Odorizzi and Raisel Iglesias and Wei-Yin Chen. We got lots of starting pitching, so I figured might as well see if we can fetch some offense for the pitching.
Yeah, that's a good deal, Tim. I'm anxious to see if you're able to pull off anything. It was, I guess it was the week, it was awards week, and I thought a fun awards week. Not a lot of surprises, Tim. First we'll go kind of award by award. The Rookie of the Year, unanimous for Chris Bryant of the Cubs, and Carlos Correa, I think he got 20 out of the 30 first place votes, a little bit closer than I would have thought, but I would have thought it had been close to unanimous. Any descending votes from your standpoint on those two?
No, I like both the picks. You know, one could look at Francisco Lindor, and you know, if you're using WAR and you get into the defensive matrix, you know, you could make a case for Lindor, but Cleveland was a 500 ball club. Houston wasn't, and I think the fact that Correa, you know, popped those 20-some-odd homers plus the whole team scenario, I think you had to give it to Correa. He was my choice anyways.
Yeah, I think I would. It was my choice, hands down. I didn't think it was close, but I mean, Francisco Lindor is going to be a nice little player going forward. And then, of course, the following day we had Manager of the Year. Joe Maddon wins his second, I believe, obviously with the Rays, the first one. And Jeff Banister. I would have liked to see AJ Hinch win, but I know why Jeff Banister won. But Tim, I don't know how you can go losing 100 games, is it 3 seasons in a row or 2 seasons at least in a row, and then come back and make the playoffs. I think that's pretty darn impressive for the Houston Astros. But, I mean, Jeff Banister, a deserving candidate as well.
Well, yeah, I think when you look at the AL, yeah, I like A.J. Hinch. I can see why Banister won it. What about Ned Yost? You know, say what you will about Ned Yost, but, you know, World Series 2 years in a row, doesn't get a whole lot of respect. In the NL, you know, if you look at Maddon, yeah, he definitely turned the Cubs around. But, you know, I looked at the cards, and I think one could have made a case for Mike Matheny as well, the best record in baseball, and he was doing it and accomplished it with a patchwork sort of team, didn't he?
He sure did. And you know, part of the thing about the World Series, they do vote on these guys before the end of the regular season, so it doesn't include, you know, anything in the postseason. So that's why Ned Yost probably didn't get some votes. But, I mean, he's had two really good teams. But you can argue that, I mean, he had a stacked team going into it. I'm not sure. I mean, the Cubs turned out to have a stacked team, but I think Joe Maddon made a difference there. And clearly Jeff Banister did as well. First, I think he was a first-year manager, but I think A.J. Hinch did as well. So I kind of liked how it all shook out, and I know Hinch finished second to Banister, but I thought they were both deserving.
Yeah, I guess the one pick I would have liked to have seen in the NL, just because I can be, you know, a little bit of a sick puppy at times, I would have loved to have seen Mattingly won it just because.
just because he got fired? That would have been great. So I heard a news story that maybe the Marlins are going to trade for Yasiel Puig, and I'm like, there's no way that Don Mattingly is going to say, yeah, bring that nightmare back to me. There's no way he's going to do that.
But, you know, on the other hand, you're talking about Laurie and Samson, right? So anything's possible. Do they really care what Don Mattingly thinks?
You know, I think as Laurie was growing up, I think Don Mattingly was his favorite player, as the story goes. So maybe he'll finally idolize somebody in baseball, and maybe we'll get something done. I just don't know how effective Don Mattingly is as a manager. I mean, he lost that clubhouse, and again, they got some pretty odd characters over there. And my question to you, Timmy, is Yasiel Puig, I know you keep saying they're going to bring in Yoenis Cespedes, which I think is interesting. I just don't know if he is bull or manageable. I mean, he seems like just to be an incredibly talented guy that is nuts.
Well, you know, I think when you look at what the Dodgers have invested, it's the Dodgers and it's a pittance to the Dodgers, but it's still a pretty hefty investment. Obviously, the kid has skills, and I just hope, whether it's a trade, bringing somebody in to work with this kid, I just hope that he finds a way to sort of right the ship. Or I think we could be looking at a best-selling novel 3 to 4 years down the road of why Yasiel Puig failed, and, you know, listing all of the, you know, all of the potentially ugly end results. You know, the kid's got a lot of talent, but, man, as we said, heading into that second year, we weren't high on him. A lot of people were. And the reasons that we identified at that point in time still exist today. Nothing has changed, and there's going to have to be a change.
That was one of our better calls, and I remember somebody trashed us on the iTunes reviews, and it's there for eternity, that we're a bunch of idiots because we didn't like Yasiel Puig, because Yasiel Puig did get started off a pretty good start to the 2014 season, which is the second season, and then he just imploded. And, you know, you could just see it a mile away that the talent was there, but just the maturity or something just was missing there, and it was one of those things that bothered me then, it bothers me now, and I don't see it getting any better.
Well, no. What's changed, Rich?
Well, you hope he's gotten a little older, so maybe some maturity set in. But, you know, I don't want to bet on that.
Well, no. I'll give you odds.
Yeah, I know. I think I was finally mature at 42. I'm not sure I was very mature before then. So.
Kathy says I'm never going to grow up. So
yeah,
you know. Yeah, it's not even a discussion in this household.
I guess the next award is probably the only mildly controversial award, and that was Cy Young. Jake Arrieta was one of three guys that I think it could have gone either way, and it went Jake Arrieta's way. And Dallas Keuchel. We got Yasiel Puig, like, Timmy, we got Dallas Keuchel right, baby. I mean, nobody was on this guy a couple of years ago along with Jakey DeGrom, and we couldn't even pronounce his name right. And we're like, wow, this guy's really, really good. And he wins the Cy Young Award, showing that 80-grade command can really, really matter. But first of all, Jake Arrieta, you agree with that pick?
Well, I think one of three players could have been picked. You can argue for any of those three and be right and support it. I have no problems at all with Arrieta getting the award. I feel for Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw, more so for Greinke than Kershaw. Kershaw's got a lot more in the tank, I think, moving forward. But they're all great choices. How do you differentiate between them? I think when you look at the second half that Arrieta posted and the effect it had on his team. Man, that's an outstanding second half, an outstanding year. So I don't have any problems with any of those guys. I do think, personally, I like Arrieta winning it. I really did.
Let me ask you a question about next year. I heard Arrieta a couple of interviews after he won the award, and he did say that he hit a wall in the playoffs, and the stuff was just not as electric. His words, not mine. Stuff wasn't as electric, and he just wore thin, and he said it was almost like it was like a mid-season dead arm period, and it just ran into a wall. And then he went on to say that he pitched 90 innings more this year than he did last year. And I went, whoa, does that pause give you any pause for concern going into next year with him?
No, I'm not overly concerned because we're not talking about a kid here. Arrieta has been around for a while, so I'm not overly concerned. But at the same point in time, if somebody were to offer me a bundle for Arrieta, I'd consider it. I'd consider it for any player, but I'm not overly concerned about Arrieta. The only concern per se I have is to expect what he did in the second half to be repeated next year. No, I think you'd be dreaming to see numbers like that back to back sort of thing.
So is Dallas Keuchel's value as high as it's ever going to be? Is it possible that he can do the same thing in 2016 that he did this year, which was phenomenal? Again, the guy throws 90 miles an hour, but his pinpoint control and very, very good command and just a ground ball machine. But a couple of balls go the wrong way, a couple of hanging breaking pitches, and all of a sudden he's not Dallas Keuchel anymore. He's something a lot less than that.
I don't have any serious concerns about Keuchel. I think what you saw last year is repeatable, and you know you're right. You can miss by a bit, and the results can change rather drastically. I don't think they're going to. I think he's a real deal, and I think he's going to be a very, very steady, consistent pitcher for the next 3 to 5 years, anyways.
Yeah, I agree with you. My only concern, obviously, if you miss throwing 97 miles an hour, most of the times a guy can't catch up to it anyway. If you miss throwing 90 miles an hour, it could be ugly, and that's my only concern. And is he a top 10 pitcher for you next year?
Yeah, he's towards the back end of that top 10, Rich. But yeah, I don't have any concerns taking him next year, none at all.
MVP, Bryce Harper, unanimous choice. Hard to disagree.
Yeah, a monster year. I don't think there's any reason to look elsewhere other than Harper in the NL.
Josh Donaldson beats out Mike Trout. Now, if I understand correctly, I'm going from memory, Tim. I did not look this up. Trout's won one MVP and is runner-up three times in his 4 years in the league. That's pretty ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and if I had to bet right now on the favorite for MVP next year, he'd have to be in the conversation. What is he, 24? I think he turns 25 next summer. Yeah, an amazing, absolutely amazing player, but this year, I don't think you can deny Josh Donaldson. He just had an incredible year, monster.
Yeah, and it's a shame because Mike Trout had that down August where he was hurt. And unfortunately, health counts, and he had a down 3 or 4 weeks, and that made the difference. My guess is if he would have played like Mike Trout, it would have been awfully, awfully close. And particularly if the Angels would have made it in, I think they didn't make it into the playoffs. If they would have made it into the playoffs, I think you would have been talking a different story.
Yeah, it's hard to vote against a player like Mike Trout, isn't it?
Well, we're going to do just that. So I was writing this, and I was writing down all these really great players. I got to thinking, and let's not talk fantasy baseball. Let's talk, you and I are about to start our own major league franchise, and we've gotten a ton of money and gotten $1 billion, and we plunked down, I don't know, the rights of $500 million to buy a team apiece, and we get to pick a player to start a franchise. And I've asked you to your 1 to 5, and I've got my 1 to 5, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of overlaps. You'll go first and tell me your first guy, then I'll tell you my first guy, and we'll just chat about it to see who you would start a franchise with, Tim. So who is that player?
Okay, you said young players, but what I did was I used 25 or under. Is that okay for this exercise?
You can pick A-Rod if you want to start a team with. If you think A-Rod is the best guy to start a team with, then by all means, Tim, talk about that. Age, the salaries, all of that, it's just the player today as we know them. Who do you want to start a franchise with?
Okay, well, hey, number one's got to be Mike Trout.
Yeah, I thought long and hard about it as well, and that's what really led to it, is Bryce Harper ahead of Mike Trout. And I said no, and I'm going to give you my reasons, and I'd love to hear your reasons. I mean, clearly baseball perspective. I mean, it's hard to disagree with Mike Trout. I mean, it's 1-1A. They're very, very close. But I do think, and this matters when I'm starting my franchise, Mike Trout's got that extra gene that he seems to say the right thing. He seems to stay out of trouble. Whether we like it or not, Bryce Harper seems to be in the middle of controversy all the time. I don't know why. Maybe he's brash. I don't know what it is. But I think just from a PR standpoint, I want Mike Trout on my Wheaties box, and I'll give Bryce Harper to somebody else.
Well, yeah, and you know what? When Mike Trout gets cocky, like, for instance, with Fernando Rodney in the Arrow,
mm-hmm.
People look at that and they laugh and they smile and they say that's a good thing. When Bryce Harper says, hey, that's a clown question, it's not viewed from the same perspective, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, he was considered before this year the most overrated baseball player by his other guys in the league, which, last laugh is on them because it was a monster year. And he could hit, in terms of like Mike Trout versus Bryce Harper in a fantasy league, I don't think Mike Trout can hit 50 home runs. I think Bryce Harper can hit 60 home runs. I mean, I think there is huge upside in the power potential. So I think from a fantasy standpoint, it's really, really close. But I'm starting a major league franchise. Give me Mike Trout.
Yeah, I want Mike Trout on all of my team programs, all of my off-season literature, and I want a banner with his picture hanging over the entrances to all of the gates at my home park.
Now, that's interesting. The Bryce Harper will appear in my top five after I just trashed him, but he's just not Mike Trout. That's the difference here. So, Tim, who would be your – so Mike Trout gets taken off the board by somebody else, and you got to go for your second choice. Who is that second choice?
Well, I'm going to look at – a player that I think is a complete player, and he's 24, plays third base, plays in a great hitter's park, but not only did he take a massive leap forward with the bat this year, his glove has always been top tier, and that's Nolan Arenado.
Wow, he didn't even make my top five. Tim, that's fascinating. Now, it's a guy that, coming up to the minor leagues, it was questions, whispers about his makeup. He wasn't a hard worker, and that turned out to be completely bogus, as nobody works harder than him, particularly in the field, and completely a true hitter. You don't know exactly how good he is because he plays in that stupid Coors Field, but that's a really, really great selection. Give me a couple of reasons why you picked them.
Well, it's the all around skills and the age. He's 24. I think he's 25 next year. You're talking, 40 home run potential. You're talking gold glove at third base. You know, you could be looking at another 10 years of top-tier production from Nolan Arenado. And, you know, that's got me sold. That and the fact that, as you mentioned, there were some questions about makeup, et cetera, et cetera. He's done nothing but prove everybody wrong.
And, you know, Tim, I write for a site, and I rarely ever talk about makeup. And I'm going to caution everybody when another site talks about their makeup, because unless you watch these guys, Timmy, you know, a dozen, two dozen, three dozen times, unless you have insight into the managerial staff that they're working for, it's really hard to see that makeup. If I go and catch a series, I can't tell. I mean, you're watching them play. You're not watching, you know, how they're working, you know, out in the outfield. Are they really working hard? Are they working on their game? I mean, you watch batting practice, but most of the scouts, Tim, I'm at batting practice. I never see anybody at batting practice. It's only just me. So just be careful when people talk about makeup. It's really hard to determine that when people are coming through the system.
Well, yeah, it's one thing that really baffled me with Arenado is, because, you know, I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. I think we sat side by each watching him that year, Rich. And Arenado, he was great with the bat. The glove was outstanding, the arm. And then the following year, these rumors started surfacing, but I sure didn't see any of it in the AFL.
My second guy, Tim, and I went a little dangerous here, but I'm feeling really good about my selection. I'm going with Carlos Correa, up the middle player, shortstop, 6'4", got the size that you want, great glove, will probably grow out of the position, but it's probably 5 or 6 years away. I think 30 home run potential, just a great middle of the lineup guy. And then another fellow that has proven himself in his first year that this guy's going to win some Roberto Clemente awards. I mean, he's going to be that service guy. He's going to be one of those guys that wins the Good Guy of the Year award. And, again, another guy I want to put on my program that I want to dance out there as a guy I want to build a team around. So not only a great player, but from all accounts, does look like he's got that extra gene that you want and the guy that you center your bobblehead collection around.
Yeah, I totally agree. As a matter of fact, I agree to the point where he's my number three.
Wow. My chair just broke, Tim. Did you hear that bang?
So, Rich, I wouldn't stand for that.
we got a chair with a problem. The wheels just have been falling off. So you're in agreement then with Carlos Correa?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. The kid's 20 years old. The future's so bright. He's wearing two sets of shades. I think we could be talking about Carlos Correa for a long, long time as being one of the best players in the game. And I know we've only seen half a season, but what we saw in that half a season is just a forerunner to what is going to be occurring, I think, over the next 10 years.
My next guy, Tim, so your third guy is Carlos Correa. My third guy is Chris Bryant, who won the unanimous award for Rookie of the Year. I think the power is going to be massive. It's 30 home run power. Again, another guy that seems to say and do all the right things. He is a Boris client, so that's going to be interesting going forward. But Chris Bryant, to me, he might eventually move to the outfield, which might, you know, if he moves to left field, maybe I feel a little different about starting my franchise with him. But from all accounts, a team leader, tremendous player, and I think really, really good to start a franchise with. Your thoughts on Bryant?
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, you add all of that into the fact that he plays a really, really good cab driver. And
it's a fantastic video. For those who have not seen it yet, he does a Lyft video on, which is Lyft, which is the lesser-known Uber taxi. Everybody knows about Uber. Lyft is kind of the competitor to that, and he's a Lyft driver, and a nice little YouTube video. Nobody knows who he is, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious. I loved it. You know, if the Cubs can win a World Series in the next 5 years, there will be two statues added to the front of that park. One will be Mad, and the other will be Bryant.
I think they're going to, you know, boy, I hate to say this because they haven't done it in 100 and some odd years. I think they're going to win, Tim. I think they're going to win multiple championships here in the next five years. I think that team is completely set up. And they're going to bring in David Price and or Zach Greinke and or somebody else, and they go with Jake Arrieta and John Lester, and then add a bullpen. That's going to be a dangerous team.
Well, yeah, they already started. They've already started on the bullpen, haven't they?
What have I missed?
Oh, okay. Sorry. My bad. Forget okay. I even mentioned that.
Okay. All right. I know that Atlanta keeps collecting pitchers, but Tim, do they realize you actually have to have somebody hit the ball? Maybe the pitchers are going to hit the ball.
Well, that's it. You know, 40 wins this year?
It is. You know, I got to tell you, I mean, I do like Freddie Freeman. If they start the season this way, Tim, he might be. I mean, he's a corner infield at best. He might be a utility guy in a 15-team league. I mean, this guy's going to hit 60 RBI. I mean, it's going to be ugly.
Well, yeah. it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a long, long year in Atlanta. And, you know, despite the assertions made that they won't, that they're not looking to trade Freddie Freeman, they won't trade Freddie Freeman, I'm not a believer in that. I
want them to trade Freddie Freeman. As an owner of him in one dynasty, I want them to trade Freddie Freeman because I think it's disastrous.
Well, yeah, in Atlanta, your prize first baseman, who is a top 10 first baseman, hands down, will produce like a top 20 maybe?
Yeah. You know that outfield, Tim, I know we're going to talk about this a little later, might be Michael Bourne, Nick Markakis, and Nick Swisher. That might be the outfield. Oh.
Yeah, that's combined between the three of them. Home runs total over-under of 16.
Well, let's think about this. So Bourne's good for 5. Markakis is good for 7? And
how many did he hit last year? 2?
2? All right, let's go 2. I mean,
know.
It's Swisher 10, 12? So, yeah, the over-under is probably right around 20.
Yeah.
That's awful. Yeah. And the bad thing is that's a collective salary, not looking it up. That's plus $30 million in the outfield.
Well, yeah, combined, the three of them are going to hit less home runs than Oswaldo Arcia hit 2 years ago in half a season in Minnesota. Think about that for a sec, eh?
They hate Oswaldo Arcia. They hate Kenny Vargas. They're talking, I don't know if you read the article, they're thinking about putting Kenny Vargas, and I know you could do this, Tim, you know more about the international or the Japanese-Korean world. They were talking about selling his contract to a Korean team. I didn't know you could do that in Major League Baseball.
Well, they own him, and they own the contract, so yeah, they can put it out there and sell it.
I don't know how they can do. I mean, they own the rights to the player. They can't sell the player. I mean, I don't know if I can you trade it to an international team, because that's what they would have to do, is basically trade it to some Korean team. You think they can do that?
They've sold players before. If I'm not mistaken, the player is involved in the. In the transaction. It's not just a, hey, congratulations, we've moved you to Japan or something. It's usually done, I believe, in consultation with the player. But no, they can sell them. That's happened before.
And Kenny Vargas, for those who didn't hear the story, I was sitting watching batting practice 2014 in Trenton Stadium, just minding my business and taking notes. And Kenny Vargas asked me if I wanted his autograph. And I said, no, I'm good. I don't need your autograph. And then he starts bantering back and forth with me about what was I not a fan and all that kind of stuff and laughing with me. And 2 weeks later, Timmy was in the major leagues. It was so awesome.
Yeah, you said he was just a heck of a nice kid when you had the opportunity to chat with him. I remember that very clearly. And it seems a shame the way everything has sort of transpired in Minnesota. I had big hopes for both Vargas and Arcia, and it's not happening, is it?
They hate Oswaldo Arcia more than anything, Tim. I don't know, man. Maybe he works for a terrorist organization. We don't know. I mean, they hate him that much. It's really bad. So my third guy is – your third guy was Carlos Gray. My third guy was Chris Bryant. You were up on the clock, Tim. Who was your fourth guy?
Well, we've already covered my fourth guy because he was your number two guy, I believe, Bryce Harper.
Yep. Tim, that's my number. Bryce Harper was not my two guy. That's not my number two. So I went Trout,
three.
Correa, Bryant, and now I'm going Harper with four. So you got Harper as well. It's hard to deny. It's hard to deny the talent, Tim. And you know, I'm hoping that over time he will become quote unquote more likable. I don't know. I know people are probably going to scream at their iPods as they're listening to this, but there's just something about him that it's tough to like. But I mean, the production is there.
Well, yeah, he is one of the. Well, he just finished winning the NL MVP. What more can you add to that? And he's how old? 23?
Yeah, it's crazy. When he was rehabbing last year, he in high A, he was the youngest guy on the team.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's crazy. So yeah. That is absolutely nuts. Okay, Tim, who's your fifth guy?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna go with a pitcher that I think can be dominating for the next 10 years or so, barring injury. And it's a player that we both called as a breakout for 2015, and he did exactly that. Had an awesome year, and I'm going with Gerrit Cole.
Another Scott Boras client. That's interesting, Tim. You know, I thought he was going to have a chance to win the Cy Young this year, kind of tailed off in the second half. Talent is there, premium velocity, great secondary pitches, a lot better major league pitcher than he was a minor league pitcher. Really, really good stuff. Again, not necessarily the most jovial of cats. You kind of like that Clayton. You wish guys are more like Clayton Kershaw, who just kind of get life, but it's a great pick. Why'd you pick him?
Well, basically because I think he's young. I think as good as he is right now, which is a top 10 pitcher, I see Cy Young's in his future, and I think he's a player that you can put on the front of that program, and it's going to sell programs.
My fifth guy, as much as I wanted to pick Jose Altuve, I could not. And it's funny, Tim, I quote out Jose Altuve probably in four or five of the capsules I wrote, and I say the hit tool is not Altuvian. So Altuvian has become my word of choice as I write capsules to talk about the kind of contact that cat makes. I also considered Anthony Rizzo, who I think – you know, beat cancer and kind of gets life, a good guy and a great player. But in the end, I went with Giancarlo Stanton. Give me just, you know, the freak guy that can hit 50 home runs and 40 of them will be stop what you're doing and watch the ball fly out. And a guy that we're forgetting about because he missed a good part of the season. And it'll be interesting to see if he stays with Miami for his entire career. I see him opting out after, I think it was 7 years, when he's 28, 29 years old, and just getting the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, I think the opt-out clause was a very, very smart move. At some point in time, my only concern with Stan is at some point in time, the frustrations are going to boil over, and it has the potential, I think, to get ugly in Miami, Rich.
I totally agree with you. Timmy, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some of these trades and kind of what's going on there. Then we're going to get into you interviewing me. So when we get back, let's talk about what the heck the Braves are doing. I don't know if you've ever listened to the playback of the show, Tim, every once in a while. Well, I listen at least to make sure I drop in the commercials correct. But this Blog Talk software they have is the greatest thing. You put in this little clip. I noticed that we are, you know, 39 minutes into the show, and then I simply go to 39 minutes. I see where it is. I drop a little flag in, you know, where the, you know, where the music ends and before it picks back up again. And you hear the music go in, and it's like a professional show. The commercial comes on. And the commercials are reasonable commercials, like Ford and was one of them, and like Kmart and Target, you know, like legitimate like businesses. And it's I was afraid it was going to be, you know, something awful, but they've held true to their claim. And then the music comes back in after it's actually professional.
I'll have to give it a listen. I actually listened to the show last week simply because I wanted to hear the difference between the phone and going direct through the board with the headset. And definitely. The headset, I think I sound better. I never listen to myself on podcasts because I think I sound terrible, Rich.
Well, Marcus Potter will call you and tell you you sound great. I think Marcus is a really nice man because I think I sound like crap too. But I've given up. I just like give up. It's my voice. It's nasally and it's terrible. So I think you sound great. In fact, the headset does sound better. But I would give if we give the headset a 10, I would give the phone an 8. You got a really good phone, so it's not bad at all.
Yeah, you know what I totally impresses me is that in all the years of doing these podcasts with a phone, you know, if somebody's in the chat room, I'll type away. I prop it up on my shoulder, and I've yet to drop it. Touch wood, but I haven't dropped the phone yet, and I very rarely have my hands on it.
I can't wait to drop the phone. It's going to be so awesome because you now are going to drop it to me. You know, as soon as you said that, man, that phone is dropping.
So. It's hitting the floor. I know it is. It's got to.
Oh, Tim, by the way, we talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about. So I told this story about my doctor friend, Ron.
Right.
And I got so many emails like that was like an awesome story and people telling me about people that are addicted to caffeine and kind of funny stories like that. But then I got an email from a guy who was I think he said he was like a grad student in medical school. And he worked under Ron, the physician. So he told me what his last name was, and he says it's the same guy. I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Have I outed this poor man? And
right.
he says you nailed him perfectly. That every time you looked at him, he had a gigantic Diet Coke in his hand. And I'm just we're just laughing over email about each other. So Tim, I did not make that story up. Ron, the doctor, is addicted to caffeine.
That's awesome, but I can see where your concerns. As soon as you see that email and start reading, it's like, OMG, what have I done, eh?
What have I done? I mean, because this guy again is a fairly noted surgeon. This is not. He said he was a surgeon. He was very. Very intimidating. So he said, here it is. That's what he wrote. A guy named Phil says, thanks for answering my question on Twitter, blah, 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 blah. I've been listening to your show for about 3 years and look forward to it every week. Just wanted to say I'm an emergency medicine resident. I don't know what that means, Tim. Emergency medical resident. That sounds like an emergency doctor, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say, yeah.
But I did part of my medical school at, he gives the name, I'm not sure if we were talking about the same surge or not, but I did my surgery rotation as a third-year med student with Ron. I literally could not stop laughing for 15 minutes as you told the story of the Diet Cokes because it's the same guy. He would never be seen without a Diet Coke in his hand. The guy had a great sense of humor, kind of intimidating as a surgeon, but in the end, we had so many great stories, and he always having a Diet Coke and was one of them. He said he also ordered Chinese food all the time, and he would say, he would also ask us what we thought a diagnosis was, and if it was unlikely, he would say the chances were 10 to the 9th power. And that was another Ronism. Whenever like we would talk about like sports and baseball, I would say, well, you know, A-Rod's going to be good. That's impossible. It's 10 to the 9th chance. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Just randomly stuff. So he had all these isms out there, and it was very, very funny. If you knew the guy, he talks so confidently about everything. You know, you would start to question, like, you know, he was a huge Yankee fan. I remember, like, watching a Yankee game. So I would talk to him, like, hey, the Yankees looked terrible last night. Oh, no, they won. No, they lost by 5 runs. Oh, no, they absolutely won. And I'd go, maybe they did. You know, it's like maybe I didn't watch the game. Was it the night before? And I'd lose total confidence in myself, though. And then I'd go back and go, no, wait a minute. They did win.
But he had the power to convince you otherwise, right?
Well, he was, you know, he's a super doctor, so he can convince anybody of anything. So I don't know. So anyway, so people love that story. So we'll try to keep them coming, Timmy. But let's talk about the Braves and – I know we've been talking about him at nauseam here, but Cameron Maben had a really good year last year. I think I wrote down 267, 327, 370 slash line, 10 home runs, 23 stolen bases. And all they could get was two lefties, a lefty reliever in the majors and Ian Kroll, and a lefty guy coming up. I think he's in low A. Couldn't they have gotten more for Cameron Maben than that?
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that. I really thought Maben had a great year last year. Faded a bit down the stretch, but you know, it was Atlanta, and I think the team context there might have affected things towards the end of the year. But, no, he had a great year, and it's not like Maven wasn't a top-tier prospect at one point in time. If I'm not mistaken, in his first full year in San Diego, I think he stole 40 bases. So It wasn't as if the talent, you know, wasn't on display prior to last year. So, no, I was shocked. I thought they could do a lot better than that. The Tigers did very, very well on that deal.
Yeah, Maben goes back to Tigers. He actually came up through the Tigers organization. Mm-hmm. And he part of the problem is they rushed into the major leagues. He debuted, I think, when he was 19 years old. In fact, he hit a home run his first game. I was actually there. It was in Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium. And I remember I was getting popcorn or something when he hit the home run. I just remember it distinctly. And that was his first home run. And then he really tanked for another year or two after that before he finally had that breakout season. But why do they keep getting pitchers? What? Tell me, Timmy, please. You're way smarter than me. What are they doing?
I have no idea. I couldn't even begin to guess. I don't think anybody can guess. Can the Braves management even guess as to what they're doing? It is baffling. It really is. I still go back to the Jose Peraza, Oliveira, that trade, and you know that happened a while ago, and I'm still at a loss, and everything they've done since is compounding it.
Now, if they trade Shelby Miller, which there's been rumors that he's on the block, I'm going to give up. Then I'll have no idea what to do. If they should, like, what if they trade Shelby Miller for some positional players? Like, then what are you doing? And I actually love the trade that Shelby Miller trade for them when they basically took 1 year of Jason Hayward and they turned him into Shelby Miller. Brilliant trade, and it seems like it's been downhill ever since.
Well, and Miller's young. I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
Yeah, if they're bringing in all these pitchers, you would think they would keep the best of the lot, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, obviously, definition is in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, I get it. We talked about that outfield in Atlanta, and I guess they're just going to do it for a year before they start to, Bourne and Swisher have another year left, and Markakis, I think, has 3 years left. It's just awful. But more interesting, Tim, what happens in Detroit? What happens in that outfield in Detroit? Is Cameron Maben the full-time center fielder? Is Anthony Gose out of a job? I'm assuming it's J.D. Martinez. Is Rajai Davis out of a job? I mean, what are they going to do in the outfield?
Well, to me, it looks like they're giving up the ghost on Anthony, Rich.
Okay, so you think ghost is out. That was very funny, Tim. Ghost as in G-H-O-S-T. So
Thanks, Rich. I spent 4 hours coming up with that earlier today. But
I'm very proud of myself when I get your jokes, because sometimes, Tim, they go over my head, and then people razz me about it. And particularly when you do your brilliant Sunday musings on the Facebook page, I only get 75% of them, which is bad. I should be able to get them all, but I can't get them all.
Oh, come on, Rich. You're just yanking my chain.
I do not get them all. And it pisses me off if I don't get them all.
It's a role play. Come on.
Okay.
I've known you too. You're too smart for that, Rich. Way too smart.
So Anthony Gose is out. You think Rajai Davis loses playing time? Do they trade Anthony Gose?
As it sits right now, their outfield is looking like, what do we got here, J.D.?
Yeah, for sure.
Maben.
So J.D. is starting, I'm assuming. And I'm assuming Cameron Maben is starting.
That's correct. And if I don't know what Rajai Davis' contract status is, but if he's in Detroit, I would have to say he's definitely starting ahead of Anthony Gose. Gose is a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what he is anyway. He's never that good. He's a speed guy, but interesting fantasy asset. But it's one of those guys that probably is more fantasy relevant than he is baseball relevant.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in Detroit because if they can add a couple chips and Verlander comes back and we see the Justin Verlander we saw in the second half this year, it's not. Not that bad of a team. They just picked up, shored up their bullpen, didn't they, by picking up K-Rod?
That's correct. But Justin Verlander signed through 2019, four more years at $28 million. Wowie. So who are we looking up? Rajai Davis? Rajai Davis is a free agent, so he is a non-factor. So he is not there.
Obviously, I should have done a little bit more homework on that question this week, Rich.
I didn't look at it either. I looked up at the depth chart, and he was on the depth chart still. So Rajah Davis signed 14 and 15. He signed 2 years, $10 million, according to Cott's contract. So I'm assuming that is correct. And it says FA under the 2016 column.
Yeah, well, they've also got Collins there, too, as well, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. That's true. So if you were to draft tomorrow, would you draft Anthony Gose very, very late?
Bench, yeah, very, very late.
Okay. The A's signed... go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Rich. I was just going to add, here's another name for Atlanta, okay? Just in the back of the mind sort of thing, Deanne Toscano.
Okay, tell me about him.
Cuban. They signed him to a $4 million deal about, it was over a year ago, and it took all last year to get his paperwork together. He's in the organization, and based on their current outfield, it wouldn't surprise me if we see him sometime this year.
That's interesting. That's a good call there. Timmy, let's move on before we run out of time here, because we're not going to make it in an hour, are we?
Have we ever made it in an hour, Rich?
Really? No. So, Tim, Rich Hill has his magical September, four games, which he goes 29 innings, 36 strikeouts, 5 walks, a 155 ERA, and then he gets a $6 million contract from Billy Bean. Now, Billy Bean's a dummy. I mean, he has made mistakes before. Rich Hill's 35 years old. My question for you, Tim, are you buying Rich Hill? Are you buying this?
Only if he's real cheap and I can get him real late in drafts, Rich. You know, the last time that he broke 60 innings pitched was 2007. And just to give a little perspective to that, in 2007, Jimmy Rollins was the NL MVP. Dustin Pedroia was the AL Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
And Nickelback had two songs on the Billboard Top 100.
Oh, I hate it, Nickelback, Tim. They're awful. I hate Nickelback. What's your thinking on Nickelback?
Bingo. Yeah, you pretty well nailed it. But
no soul at all. No soul in that music. It's just, you know, a guy singing and people playing instruments. It's horrible.
Yeah, totally. And that was the last time that Rich Hill broke 60 innings pitched.
Wow. So yeah, his stuff looked good. I mean, I will say his stuff looked good. And I keep thinking of Carlos Carrasco and these reclamation projects that turned it around. And I don't know, Timmy. I don't know if I'm buying them. I guess if I can get them late, I would take a gamble on them. But $6 million is nothing to sneeze at. So Billy Bean thinks he's worth something.
Well, yeah. And my take is if Rich Hill performs at even 70% of the level he did in September, by the middle of July, he'll be traded to a contender.
True. Or he'll be, or more likely, Tim, he'll be injured.
Well, Based on his history, I'd say that's a fair assumption. Yeah, definitely.
The last trade I got, I know it was one this evening with Jesse Chavez. I just didn't get to that one. But the Brewers acquired one of your guys, one of your faves, Tim, and that's Jonathan Villar from the Houston Astros. Could he get some playing time in Milwaukee, maybe at third base? I don't know who they're playing at third base. Shortstop is really stacked with Segura and Orlando Arcia coming up probably sometime after the middle of April. Does Jonathan Villar get enough playing time that you would speculate on him very, very late in the draft?
Well, yeah, right now it appears as if the only other third baseman there is, what, Elian Herrera?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his K to walk ratio was 72-18 last year. Jonathan Villar might also be able to post a better one. Yeah, if you're looking for a late round gamble, sure, why not throw it out there? The one thing about late round gambles is if they don't succeed, you got a thing called the waiver wire, so you can move on very quickly. But yeah, if I'm looking at a bench slot, and of course, depending on what happens in the spring, if his role looks a little bit more defined, that could change things, and I might be back on the Jonathan Villar bandwagon again.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Milwaukee Brewers top 10 list, and after shortstop with Orlando, who is the top of the list, it's outfield, outfield, outfield. They're stacked in outfield. They don't really have any depth in the infield, at least in premium prospects on their roster. So there's really no reason for them to trade or sign anybody at a free agency because they are somewhat in a rebuild. So Jonathan Villar might get some playing time.
Well, yeah, and he, you know, he's got a little bit of pop, he's got a little bit of speed, and he's got a lot of miss in his swing.
Absolutely. But it's a speed that we do like. Timmy, I'm going to turn the reins over to you as we are doing our top 10 prospects in the AL Central. I write for Prospect 361. I work very hard on these lists. I probably wrote these things about 3 months ago, so I'm hoping I remember all of the players, Tim. I turn the radio airwaves over to you.
Why, thank you very much, Rich. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to chat some prospects with you. Let's start with the White Sox. We're going to do this alphabetically. Tim Anderson, number one prospect. 24 walks, 513 at-bats. Does he break camp as the everyday shortstop now that Alexi Ramirez is gone?
Well, he only made it up to Double A. You can argue that he probably needs a little bit more seasoning. Contact is there. The walk rate is not. So, you know, he does make good contact. He's got a lot of speed. So from a fantasy standpoint, you would like that. I would think that they would at least have him go through the middle of April, so there's 7 years of team control. But
okay,
he's probably worth a pick fairly early in a redraft league, because I do think he gets at least 400 at-bats for the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, I like to hear that. Looking at pitching, you got the two guys ranked right beside each other, Carson Fulmer and Frankie Montes.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want on your dynasty squad, Rich?
I do worry that that Fulmer is a closer. I don't like the delivery. Frankie Montes also could be a closer, too. The guy's a big boy, throws really, really hard. You know, if I'm going by my rankings, I say Carson Fulmer, but if, you know, next week I may change to Frankie Montes. I think they're both okay, and Fulmer does have a little bit more upside, and I think he could be a closer if he doesn't make it in the starting rotation. So I'm going to go there, Timmy, but it's very close.
Okay, excellent. Your number six prospect is Trey Blank, and he's a third baseman, okay? I'd like you to pronounce his last name, and will it all 13 letters ever fit on the back of a MLB uniform, Rich?
Tim, I had the name down because I've actually seen him play, and it's Trey... Oh, I can't. It's Polish, so it's got the ski at the end. But Michael Shevsky.
There we go. I didn't have a clue how to pronounce that, but that sounds real good, Rich.
It's a nice little player. So
okay,
you know, I think a little deeper from a dynasty league standpoint. The you know, I put him. I think I said he's a $13 to $15 player. I think there's a chance that he hits 20 home runs, and I think there's it's a nice little player there.
Oh, okay. I just thought I was going to inject some humor, but obviously that didn't work.
No. It's a really good humor, Tim, because I probably butchered his name. His mother's probably going to call me up and tell me how to say his last name.
Oh, okay, but I still don't think it's going to fit on the back of a uniform.
Well, Salta La Macchia did, so I'm assuming that's about the same. So maybe it will. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be close. Let's move on to Cleveland. 1-2, you've got Zimmer and Frazier.
Yep.
Who would you take between the two of them, Rich? I like both, and I know you've got them ranked, but that ranking's very close. Who arrives first, and if you had to make a pick in a dynasty league, who would you grab first?
You know, I actually think there's a fairly big drop off between Zimmer and Frazier.
Okay.
I mean, Frazier's got Javier Baez type of bat speed and a little bit of out-of-control play like Bias. He was actually in the Arizona Fall League, and I saw him again. I've seen him play, I think it was last year somewhere. I can't remember what it was. He's good. He's going to swing and miss a lot. There is tremendous raw power there. He's a decent outfielder. But I think Bradley Zimmer has a chance to be one of those, like, Hunter Pence type of player that you look up, and he's 20-20, and he's batting .280, and you go, I didn't know he was that good. And he just does everything really easy. He doesn't have any, like, double plus tools that you go, wow, that's off the charts. I mean, he's looks better playing than Hunter Pence does. But you know, like Hunter Pence, you know what I'm talking about? He's like a good player. And from a fantasy standpoint, he's a lot better than you think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you look at him and, the way he swings, the way he runs, he makes – but he's a good all-around player that gets and generates statistics year in and year out, yeah.
Yeah, he stole 44 bases in 2015. And you're not going to see that, but, I think you'll see 16 to 22 home runs and 20 to 25 stolen bases, and I think you can take that one to the bank. I think the floor is really high on him. The ceiling's not sky high. You don't see him making too many all-star teams, but, again, Hunter Pence-type player.
Ah, awesome. A very interesting name that showed up in the on your list, and one that's been discussed numerous times since he was drafted as a Houston Astro, is Brady Aiken. Where do you draft him in dynasty leagues this year, Rich? What are your thoughts?
So I struggle with this. I do write a segment about my fantasy aspect of that, and I probably said I don't have a clue. Because I really don't, Tim, and it's, I think where I concluded is if you're in a 15-team dynasty league and you've got the 10th or 11th pick and you're fairly far down, which means you did pretty well last year, I think it's the right place to take them. You take them late in the first round because you've got a really good team, or you've got two picks in the first round and you take the first one, an Alex Bregman, and you feel really good about where you picked, and Brady Aiken is sitting there because the potential is a number one, but
right.
The health risk is so high that it might be a complete waste of pick because he might not survive as a pitcher. You just don't know. I mean, that's the problem, and the fact is nobody knows. So I think, and I'll throw the question back to you because I didn't write anything that is not well known. I mean, the guy has a great arm. He's got supposedly a smaller-than-normal UCL in his elbow. He's had Tommy John surgery. It's supposedly repaired, but if it's smaller than usual, then what does that mean? I don't know. Where do you draft him?
Well, I'm of the mindset that you'd have to fall a fair ways before I'd invest, simply because I'm a fairly cautious drafter in dynasty leagues. If I'm going to speculate, it's going to be on a guy who stole 70 bases. You know what I mean? That sort of I'm going to work that angle as compared to injured players. So he wouldn't be all that high on mine, simply because I wouldn't want to waste the pick.
But he's not injured anymore, Tim.
No, he's not injured anymore, but moving forward, what are we going to see?
I don't know. I mean, I think the upside is huge. I think it's one of those things that, your gut will tell you if it's the right thing to do, and it's usually, that's part of the reason dynasty leagues, I think they're best in slow formats where we've got a couple of hours to think about it, because
right.
That's not a guy you want 90 seconds to make a selection on, because you really need to say, is it the right place to take him? And you got to really think about that. And I wish everybody the best. And let us know if you draft him and what your thinking was on that in a redraft of a dynasty league, because I'm curious to see where he goes in these four leagues that I play in.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who goes before and after, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, he should be one of the top pitchers gone, but it's not deep. First of all, this redraft league from a dynasty standpoint is pretty weak. We might have the Korean guy come, if Mojica comes, there's going to be some additional players in there. But, I mean, let's face it, last year's draft wasn't great. So after five or six players, it starts to get a little dicey.
Well, yeah, speaking of Koreans, we had another one announced that he was going to head to Major League Baseball today, Hun Soo Kim, and he's a free agent, and he's caught me totally off guard, but we could see upwards of four Koreans going near the top of dynasty drafts next year.
Yeah, I hear you, Tim, and, it's interesting. I'm looking at my pref list. I got Brady Aiken currently at 7. So I'm a little higher on him than I thought I was. So I've got the Brendan Rodgers, Dansby Swanson, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tuckers, Andrew Benintendi, those kind of guys before him. And then I got Brady Aiken as the first pitcher off the board from the new guys. So who's the next pitcher that I got off the board? Going Tim, I don't. Oh, I guess the next guy I have is Garrett Whitley, with Tampa Bay with me, my next pitcher off the board. So the pitching depth was high. You got Fulmer who was off the board, but he might be a closer. So it's as you start to prepare for your dynasty league, there's a lot of open questions there.
Yeah, I would say guaranteed the first pitcher off the board will be Kenta Maeda if he comes over.
Absolutely, that's what I said. I'm hoping that happens because it'll make the dynasty league drafts a lot more fun if we've got some interesting players. But if you're taking, you know, guys that maybe number three, number four starters in the first round, that's a tough way to go.
Well, yeah, and you're taking a lot of guys that could end up as relief pitchers, a lot of high school kids. You could be waiting 4 or 5 years to see a payoff.
Yeah, I got Dylan Tate in there and Carson Fulmer. They're all down there. They got Colby Allard. Yeah, guys like that, they're a little bit further down, but there's nobody jumping off the page.
Ah, interesting. Let's take a look at the Detroit Tigers. And the first thing that caught my attention was the last line of your intro. I had to read it actually thrice, Rich. A Ruben Amaro compliment? What's up with that?
It's like so. However, the Phillies have proven it. Wait a minute. Did I just give Ruben J. Amaro a compliment? Yeah, so it's Al Avila's got he's got a tough role because that is a bad system, man. The Detroit Tigers is not very good, but Ruben J. Amaro rebuilt that system before he got fired. And that Phillies, I've already published him. That's a good system.
It sure is. It sure is, Rich. Well, when I look at Michael Fulmer, it's a good thing I read your list because is he the Rodney Dangerfield lack of respect sort of guy out there? You look at the numbers, and they were really, really good last year.
Well, the part of the problem is he played for the Mets, so he got lost in the nobody cared about the Mets and the minor leagues after Noah Syndergaard came up because they had the best pitching staff and all of baseball. Why do you need to care about guys coming up? And he did get no respect. And quite frankly, he really had a good year. And he was emerging before then, I think, finally put everything together. I talk about how bad the Detroit system is. Michael Fulmer is not that. He is very, very good and will probably be a top 50 prospect for me.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, he was definitely flying way, way off my radar. And when I saw the numbers and the fact that the name recognition didn't jump out at me immediately, it just sort of caught me a bit off guard. Jacoby Jones, I'm assuming you're changing your ETA to 2017?
Yeah, because of the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it's a shame because I think Jacoby Jones, as I write in here, I think it was a nice pull for the Tigers to get him. Guys get suspended, Alex Reyes is suspended. So it's just a real shame that the guys won't follow the rules, but that's the way it goes. But I think it's more 2017. But there's power, there's speed there. He'll be a better fantasy player than he will be a real-life player because I'm not sure he stays at shortstop. But he's always been old for the leagues that he's been in, but I think he can play.
Okay, good stuff. Steven Moya. 500 at-bats, 27 walks. Now that the Tigers have moved to acquire Maben, does that pretty well seal Moya's fate, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's 17, and it is also a contact rate of 67%. 67%, a walk rate of 5%. That doesn't work. So
yeah.
I don't know what to do. I mean, it seems like that is a Japanese player. That seems like a guy who's going to get sold to Japan or get cut and then move over to Japan. I'm not sure he's a major league player.
Mm. Yes, he'll be joining Kenny Vargas and Eric Thames and rocking the KBO, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could. He'll hit big. He's got the power. There's no question. But, again, terrible contact, never walks. He could hit 190 in the big leagues, and that's just not going to work.
Mm. Exactly. Moving on to KC, Kyle Zimmer. Are you going to target
surprise,
him?
Surprise, huh? That's a bit of a surprise. I'm probably going to be one of the few guys that actually has him at the top of the list. And, Tim, I saw him last AFL, and I said, damn, this guy is good, man. I saw him when he struck out 7 or 9 or whatever it was. And then, of course, he had the shoulder problem right after that. And I know he's been terribly injured. This guy is really, really good.
Well, yeah, are you going to target him in draft and hold leagues
I think so.
This year? Okay.
Absolutely. I think he was on my I could go back and look. I'm pretty sure I put him on my draft and hold league from last year.
Okay.
I mean, I think when he comes up, he's going to be very, very good. And it's funny because he has been terribly injured, but I it's been his shoulder. And if they've got his shoulder fixed, knock on wood, let's hope he'll continue to be healthy. And I think he's got really, really strong strong skills going into next year.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about Ryan O'Hearn? Nice Irish lad.
Ryan O'Hearn. So that's way down on the list, Tim.
That is one of, I think that's your breakout.
Oh, my breakout. So that's why I can't. Let me go down to refresh.
Number 11 on your list of 10, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay, gotcha. So Ryan O'Hearn, eighth round pick in 2014. The thing that stuck out at me was 27 home runs in his first season. I did not get a chance to see this guy, but I got a lot of, when I talked to people, I think front office guy told me, wasn't in the Kansas City Royals, that was a guy that they were keenly interested in. And I said, you know, I've never seen him play. And they said it's a guy that was really good scouting job by the Kansas City Royals, that there was a lot of teams in 2014 that were hoping to get him very late. And the Kansas City Royals jumped the gun and got him. And there was a lot of really good kind of comps for him that I got. First base prospects, and nobody's going to be talking about him because, again, most of the list that people put together, they always consider position and fantasy. We care less about position and defensive acumen. So I got a lot of really good words on him. Haven't seen him play, but, man, 27 home runs is 27 home runs.
Well, exactly. So you'd be looking at him, say, what, round six in a 10-round dynasty redraft?
Something like that, yeah. And again, now that we've talked about him and now that people have read my stuff, he's probably going to go in the third round. But, again, it's you're playing the odds. And, you know, I write enough of these capsules to know that, you know, power is a problem in fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. And if I've got 20, 25 minor league slots, I'm probably going to have four or five guys there that are capable of hitting 25-plus home runs. And I'm probably going to have one or two slots of guys who can steal 40 or 50 bases. I'd rather overcompensate for the lack of power as opposed to the lack of speed.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I just wanted to get your assessment there so I can draft him one round earlier than you in DL2, Rich.
Yeah, there you go. So that's a good call, Timmy. It's funny. People, again, I spent a lot of time writing these things. Do not forget about the emerging prospects. I'm telling you, if you go back and take a look at the last 3 years I've been doing this, and you take a look at those emerging prospects, a lot of them have been very, very good. Now, some have been bust, and I know it's like, which one do you know to pick? But those emerging guys, I put them there for a reason, because I do want to highlight, and it's sometimes the sleeper guy, a guy that nobody's thinking about, that you might want to take a gander on, and O'Hearn is one of those guys.
Yeah, what I do, Rich, is I take all your emerging prospects and put them on one list, so I have them nice and handy for the latter rounds of my dynasty leagues. Works out real well. If you're going to take a flyer, you might as well take a flyer on somebody that a person like yourself is recommending. When you get that deep into a dynasty league, I don't have a clue, so I find it comes in extremely handy. One last question out of KC. Bubba Starling, is it buy low time or just don't buy at all?
Well, Bubba Starling was in the AFL this year and actually played really well. He looks so good, Timmy. He looks like he came out of Central Casting. I don't know if I wrote that in the article, but I mean, he looks the part. He's big and he's tall. He's a little stiff of a player. He still looks a little bit like a football player, but I don't know how good of a fantasy player he's going to be because I don't believe the speed is there any longer. But I do think there's 15 to 20 home run power. He's a good right fielder. From a fantasy standpoint, it might be a pass for me. I think he will be a Major League Baseball player, but I'm not sure how good of one he will be.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's move on to our last topic of the day, and that would be the Minnesota Twins. Jose Berrios, is he the early favorite for the American League Rookie of the Year. And are you going to draft him for in a late round situation or a bench slot in redraft leagues, Rich?
I think the early favorite is Byron Buxton, the guy ahead of him, which he made it by one at bat to be
right.
On the Rookie of the Year, and he's going to get the starting gig, I would think, out of spring training. So, and if he plays up to his potential, I think he's the early favorite. Jose Berrios is really, really good. I don't think you'll get him in the 30th round or 25th round. I think you're going to have to go a little bit earlier than that. I think you're going to have to go a little bit earlier on Blake Snell as well. So I think there's some guys that you just know are going to get some significant playing time. And I think Berrios is one, and I think Snell is one. So if you want them, and I think Berrios has a chance to be very good right off the bat. I don't see him, Tim, as a perennial all-star. I don't see him as a guy 7-8 years from now where we're talking about somebody who's going to get a 7-year, $200 million contract. I think you're talking about a very good pitcher, but a guy that can really pitch and it can be very good right out of the gate.
Okay, fair enough. Jorge Polanco, does he break camp as the everyday shortstop this year for the Twins?
You tell me, Tim, because I got him in one dynasty league because I like the kid. He came up a couple of years ago. He's a good shortstop. He's got some speed. He's got a little bit of pop. I'm going to turn it back and ask you. I don't know. I thought he would be up last year, but it seems to be a rotating shortstop thing there. So you tell me.
Yeah, I think he is. I'm bullish on the kid as well, and I think what the Twins are going to do is trade the rest of their shortstops to Tampa Bay.
Well, I was never a big fan of Danny Santana. I think I talked about that last year in preparation. Is Eduardo Escobar is the other guy that's there? I mean, he's okay, and it's like he played well, and it probably delayed Jorge Polanco getting the job, but I think there's more talent there. The guy is, what, great contact, 84%. The walk rate is almost 8%. He's got the speed. I think he's a dynamic player, and you know, I think he's ready.
Okay. Why the lack of love for Cole Stewart? Is it the K-9 rates, Rich?
I'm not sure it is a whole lot of lack of love. I mean, he's still got a number two starter on it. So he is sitting at number seven. It is a little bit, he's become an extreme ground ball pitcher, and he's stopped striking out guys.
Right.
I think, what was it, almost, it was less than 5 strikeout per 9. That's probably why he dropped a little bit. I think he was the 7th overall pick in was it the 2013 draft or something like that. So his pedigree, his stock has definitely dropped. But I mean, I still got him as a number two starter. I just don't, from a fantasy standpoint, Tim, it's hard to draft a guy that's going to get you 4 or 5 strikeouts a game. That's not helpful.
No, I agree. Bung Ho Park, where would he fit on your list of Twins prospects were you to include him?
Not ahead of Buxton, not ahead of Berrios. Max Kepler, who, by the way, we didn't talk about it. Tim, he's really good.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of Twins that I really liked, and I saw Kepler, and I didn't know where to start with questions on the Twins. I could have had another half a dozen easily, Rich.
It's somewhere either in front of Max Kepler or after Max Kepler. I would probably put him in front of Max Kepler, but it's really close because I think Max Kepler could be an impact fantasy player. I really do. I think he only hit 9 home runs last year. I think there's 15 to 21 home run power. I think there's definitely 20-plus stolen base power. The guy can really hit. I think he's one of those under-the-radar guys that when he comes up this year, he might get Byron Buxton a run for the money as the best outfielder in the Twins outfield. I think Buxton will eventually pass him, but Kepler's ready.
Well, yeah, and then you got Rosario. Is Rosario possibly the odd man out at some point in time?
It could be Kepler's the odd man out. I mean, because where are they going to put where are they going to put Oswaldo Arcia? They're going to start him. Oh, wait a minute.
Korea with Vargas.
So that is one thing that the Twins have. They got a lot of outfield depth, and Kepler will probably start in AAA, but I'm telling you, he's a player and somebody that we can't forget about. I would probably put the Korean in front of Kepler, but just barely.
Oh, okay. And one last final question. I'm going to put you on the spot with this one, Rich. You're drafting a dynasty league first go around. Who do you pick first, Miguel Sano or Buxton?
That's a good question. I thought I wrote about that somewhere. At least in one of my drafts, I talked about which guy would I pick first. I think in the end, in a dynasty league, I'd still rather have Byron Buxton. I think Byron Buxton, when he puts it all together, will be Andrew McCutcheon. And I don't see Miguel Sano having the value of Andrew McCutcheon or the ceiling of Andrew McCutcheon. He could hit 30 home runs, that's for sure. But Buxton, I think, can hit 20, and I think he can steal 40 bases and bat 300. So that's where I see the difference. But the floor is higher on Miguel Sano, so if you're a fraidy cat drafting, Tim, go with Miguel Sano. If you want to really go with true upside, I think you go with Buxton.
Okay, obviously two of the best prospects in the game, but it's very interesting when you start looking. The Twins have got an awful lot of talent, don't they? Young talent.
They do. And it's also young talent at the major league level as well. I mean, they don't have pitching.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's the problem. They got some really good positional bats, but they need some pitching and desperate pitching. It would be good to see them, like, go all in on a David Price or something like that. But, man, they'll never do it. But they need that number one there.
Well, yeah, they changed the tune in Minnesota to, Ricky, please lose those numbers.
Very good, Tim. That's Ricky, don't lose those numbers. That's right. So that was 19. I remember, let's see, I was in middle school, I believe, or junior high when that came out. So that, I'm caught, I'm going to say it was 14 years old, so I'm 53 now. So I'm going to say that was 40 years ago when that came out.
Yeah, early Steely Dan. I love Steely Dan.
So let's see. Let's type that in. So Ricky, don't lose that number. Ricky, don't lose that number. When? Let's see if that comes up. Here it is. 1974. That's pretty good. That was 40 years ago.
Yeah. I was 40 years ago. Hey, I was a hippie teenager back then.
You're a teenager. I was a young teenager, Timmy, and actually, you know, it's funny. I never knew it was Ricky, R-I-K-K-I. I did not know that. I always thought it was R-A-K-Y. Wow. I feel like I've learned something. R-I-C-K-Y, so I guess.
We can never stop learning when it comes to Steely Dan, Rich.
That's true. Timmy, this is fun. I love it when you fire off questions at me. Really, really good stuff. Hopefully people picked up a lot of information. We are the NL East is now done, so maybe we'll do that in a couple of weeks and just keep it going. It gives us a time to, you know, when we're light on content, we have some prospects that we can always talk about. I know people always like to know the guys coming up. But I will tell you, Tim, this year is not as good of a minor league system as last year. In fact, I'm starting to formulate ideas around my top 100. It's just not as good.
Well, that's because probably 20% of your top 100 that 2 years ago you were assuming would be there is all at the major league level.
That's right. And that 2015 draft just wasn't as good. And we probably added 10 guys there that make the top 100, maybe 12 guys. And there's the Chris Bryants, Carlos Correa, Seager's still there, but those top guys are about to go as well. Then it's 2016-17 is going to get really ugly.
Well, yeah, like, you know, we were mentioning just a few minutes ago, hopefully we see a fairly heavy influx from both Japan and Korea this offseason to spice up some of those drafts.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, I was writing about the San Francisco Giants organization, and I was writing about one guy that they actually signed for $6 million Lucius Fox out of the Bahamas.
Okay.
And it's interesting, Tim, he was in school, so he grew up in the Bahamas, came to the U.S. in high school, played in, you know, all the tournaments and so forth, and then decided to go back to the Bahamas and spend his last year in high school in the Bahamas so that he would then be drafted and as part of the international draft. So he basically got $6 million signing bonus, which he wouldn't have gotten if he had brought, if he would have been signed in the U.S. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. He's never played he's never played an at bat of professional ball, but a guy that's an interesting guy that he just researched and wrote about this weekend. So Lucius Fox, for everybody wanting to know a name.
That's a real interesting situation. That kid's awful bright to be a high schooler and have already figured out the advantages to being an international free agent. Is that the right way of putting it?
That's where these advisors come in, and I think at the end of the opening thing, I congratulate him and his advisors for doing a pretty smart move, because it's only two or three players that got $6+ million, and he wasn't going to be one of them. So, you know, instead, he probably made $4 million in the deal, Tim.
Well, yeah, and depending on his background, that $4 million could fuel the rest of his life, and very well if he's got the right advisors.
The fact is, the draft day signing bonus is the biggest payday for 95% of every player signed. That's just that's a fact, right? Because very few of them make it. There's the Chris Bryants of the world. Even though Chris Bryant signed for $6 million, that's going to look like a pittance in, you know, 10, 15 years from now. But for most of the guys, and remember, it's 45 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most amount of money they will ever make. Is that draft. So that's why they're holding out. They're trying to get as much as they can, and they're trying to manipulate the system. And who can blame them?
Well, no. If you know, that's what the system is there for, Rich. You know, you're looking at every year 1,300 to 1,400 players involved in that draft process. You start multiplying that by 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and the percentages get awful small, don't they?
Yeah, I'd say it's 40 rounds times 30, so it's 1,200 plus some supplemental rounds. So, yeah, probably 1,230, 40 players, so you're absolutely right. So, fascinating, and, yeah, I think the drafts are always fun, and writing about prospects is fun, and talking about prospects, particularly this time of the year, is a lot of fun. I hope everybody goes out and reads my stuff. I do it as a labor of love. I don't charge for it. Maybe one day I will, Tim. When I'm on a fixed income as a retiree, maybe I'll charge a little bit for it. But for now, I happily put it out there.
Will you comp me, Rich? Please, will you?
Of course, Timmy. We're talking like $10 a year. That's what I'm thinking. Just enough. Just because if we get a couple thousand people, that's $10. That's okay. So
well, yeah. My big concern is with the way the Canadian dollar is, that $10 could be like $60 U.S. by then, and that, you know, that might cost me like a couple cases of stewed prunes, Rich. It gets up there when you get old, eh?
Yeah, the dollar's really strong against all currencies now. It really sucks. I mean, when we want to travel abroad, it's fairly inexpensive, but man, it makes it tough for corporate America to make a whole lot of money when all your products are very expensive. So it's just going to go up, Tim, with the Fed looking like they are going to raise interest rates in the next couple of weeks. It's just going to make everybody want to flood money into the U.S., but oh well.
Well, yeah, and ask me how I feel next year when my trip to Arizona costs me 4,500 Canadian instead of three.
You think that's what the difference is going to be? You think it's going to be that much?
Well, right now I think our dollar's at 73 cents.
Wow, because usually it's almost been one for one, so it's down 25%. Wow.
It's down 25%. So every time I step across the border to buy absolutely anything, travel, do whatever, add 25% to the bill.
That's a shame, Tim. And so they won't give you 25% more in your paycheck?
Can I give you a couple phone numbers, Rich? Like, I'll even give you email addresses. I'll go that extra mile for you, Rich. But the answer would be no.
Oh, that's a shame. It's funny because I have a group in Brazil, a fairly large team in Brazil. And I don't know if you've heard about what's happening in Brazil. That country's almost bankrupt. And
yep.
The strength of the Brazilian, what's that, the rupee, whatever the Brazilian currency is against the dollar, it's like 25% against what the dollar is. I mean, they got such rampant inflation that a guy who used to make like $40,000 there now makes $10,000 essentially. That's the buying power that they have in the U.S. And it's absolutely crazy. And everybody wants out of the country. I know this for a fact because they keep asking me, do there any jobs in America they can come up and do? So it is, you know, there's some scary places out in the world at the moment.
Well, yeah, everybody's a millionaire, but it costs you a quarter of a million to buy a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, I know, exactly right. Tim, what do you got going on this week?
Not a whole lot of anything. I'm going to be doing a little bit of writing for the magazine and working on a few things there. But other than that, I'm just going to be hanging out on the Facebook page and monitoring all of the Koreans and Japanese players that will hopefully be coming over. Probably not next weekend, the weekend after. I think it's just about time to start up some mock drafting. So I'll make the announcement probably next week and get started on that. You know me, the old Boy Scouts motto, be prepared.
Yeah, and it's Tim, it gives us something to do. Good grief. I mean, it's you know, we do have, so let's think about this from a baseball perspective. Next week's a bit of a dud week, and then we finally, which is Thanksgiving here in the U.S.
Right.
Then, so that hopefully will go quickly. Lots of football next Thursday, so we'll enjoy that. It's that week of the 30th that nothing, absolutely nothing happens. Then we get the week of the 7th, which is the winter meetings.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. That'll be good baseball stuff. So there'll be lots of trades and eating up time. And then you got another week of probably winter meeting wrap up. Then Christmas is here and the New Year's is here. And then we're at the first of the year, Tim. So we've only got a couple of weeks of deadness before things really start to crank up.
Well, yeah, and it happens fast, Rich. The older you get, the faster it seems to happen. But I just want to wish you and your family and all of my American friends a very, very happy and safe Thanksgiving, and may your bird be anything but foul.
Yeah, the kids are all here, so my son comes
good
up with his lady friend, so that'll be interesting, Tim. So we'll have his lady friend here. My daughter's boyfriend is here this weekend. Really, really nice guy.
Awesome.
And Tim, he's definitely trying to score points with me. He came in and said, tell me about this fantasy baseball. I think I'd like to play. I'm like, really? I'm
back
like,
up.
Really?
Oh,
exactly.
Huge stuck up, Rich. Huge.
I will take that, though, Tim, right?
Well, I would take that and smile.
He's
both sides of my piece, I'd be laughing. I'd almost be laughing.
He's a huge baseball fan, played baseball in, you know, high school and college, so good athlete.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, this might be fun. And I'm like, hey, man, we'll get you involved in some leagues, babe. Just let me know. We'll get it going. So we might have another convert, Tim.
Well, then that's awesome. You know, I love the spring when both the boys take turns calling me, trying to bribe me for my services when it comes to picking their fantasy teams. And they both play in the same league, and it's a hoot when you get your kids involved in the game. It's just a blast, Rich. It really is.
Now, Tim, I'm gonna bend your ear for another couple of minutes. I forgot there
sure.
was something. I was something I wanted to put in the notes, and I didn't.
Okay.
And I need your help on something. This is—I'm actually very, very serious about this, and I am going to play the thank music because I want you to think about your answer. So I don't know if you've heard, but Major League Baseball announced the festivities for opening, or you know, kind of the schedule for the year. I don't know if you heard this. First of all, they're going to continue with the last day of the season. Everything starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which I think is a brilliant idea.
Right.
But the first opening day, Tim, they've expanded opening night to be a triple hitter that starts, I think it's all the teams that were in the playoffs are going to play, with the night game being a rematch of the World Series. I think that's what they said. And then Monday, traditional opening day. Now, three games in one day, Tim, doesn't feel like it almost feels like an opening day. So my question to you, you know my tradition. I go out and have hot dogs and Blizzard. That's my opening day tradition. I've been doing it for probably 10 years.
Right.
My question to you is, do I do it at three? It's a three-part question. I'm one of three answers, Tim. Do I now make opening day on Sunday and go get my hot dogs and Blizzard? Do I continue the tradition and do it on Monday? Or do I do it both days? Now, Tim, think very closely. And I am a very trim man, so I don't want to overeat, and I always have indigestion after doing this. What would you do if you...
Well, I think one of the things you got to remember, Rich, is that You're talking fast food, so it's not going to stay in your system very long anyways.
Very, very true.
Okay, so it's not like you're going to bulk up on a few extra tube steaks, right?
Nope.
What I would do is Monday has always been the tradition, but why not take the opportunity Sunday? Okay, we'll call it full opening day, okay, for you. And you go out and you get your Dairy Queen and you watch the games. But then Monday just wouldn't be right if you were at work pounding the pavement and doing your bit. So I think you got to celebrate both days and go for the double dose of DQ.
So what about the hot dogs? Do I get the hot dogs both days too, or do I pick another? Do I do something else?
Well, you know what I would do is I would get 3 hot dogs on Sunday, 1 for each game, and you can always nuke them up so you can celebrate 3 times.
Oh.
And on Monday, I'd be finding an afternoon meeting, probably in front of, I'd guess, a 50-inch monitor in your den. How does that sound? With, of course, a tube steak and slush.
I will definitely be taking Monday off. There's no question about that. That's just tradition.
Yeah.
I just do it.
Right.
And there better not be a board meeting or anything. I got to go till Monday. I'll be really pissed. I think everybody knows my addiction here, so they do work around my schedule. But I think I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to get the Blizzard.
Yep.
I guess at the 3 hot dogs sounds like you're trying to kill me, but that's probably a really good idea. Just do 1 a game.
Well, and you know what, Rich? On the positive side, okay, with those 3 hot dogs on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first time in the history of our show we probably ever get it done in less than an hour, right?
That's true. I'll be running to the bathroom. That's a very good point, Tim. That's right. I will probably just have finished my 3rd dog, and it will be on the air.
Well, yeah, and I would say we'd be good for, the last time I ate Dairy Queen, it was good for about 45 minutes, Rich. It's a record breaker.
Now I have switched from the Dairy Queen hot dogs to Davy Dogs, place I found. That's right, yeah, so $1.75 a dog, so still pretty inexpensive, so the whole thing won't cost me a whole lot. In fact, a couple of our listeners have found the place, too. It's off of one of the major interstates here, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, you made the move because you were offering to meet up with anybody in the neighborhood last year over a dog, if I'm not mistaken, weren't you?
That is correct. That is correct. So maybe double time now, so I get a chance to do it 2 times. So, but I got to get past. I have to put this past Lori because she's probably going to nix the idea because she'll be the one listening to me complaining about my belly hurting. So.
Well, yeah, but it will. You know, I've done that, myself, and it also gives your spouse the opportunity to say, I told you so, which is not a bad thing, right?
And Timmy, thanks so much for being free on Saturday here. Everybody, enjoy your week. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our U.S. friends and everybody around the world who will celebrate Thanksgiving. Give thanks to everybody. Tim, we'll see you next Sunday.
Yes, safe travels. Enjoy San Fran, and we'll catch you next weekend.
Okay.
So covered rooftops and broken down stages, filling my head. Can I please feel your heart with last summer's breakdown in this winter's